welcome back to another episode of the Z2 Podcast on a different recording day. In Titans news, Wally is back.
Woo!
Zach freaking screams. Good God. I'm sure the people upstairs
are... Do you think your neighbors hate me yet?
I'm usually pretty quiet, so they can deal with it.
Well, the reason why I did that is I had a dream that you... Literally, I was taking a nap before the podcast, and... You started the podcast without me. I was late. And you started talking about Titans Rebirth without me. And as soon as you said Wally was back, I burst through the door and started screaming. So I feel like that would be a really great intro.
And hopefully that came out just as well as it did on the test. So we'll soon find out. And I'm sure if we receive a knock on the door, we'll know why.
Yeah, we're going to pause in
between. People can deal with it. I'm never that loud anyway.
I'm always very loud.
Anyway, this is going to be a shorter episode since we had our little 0.5 from DCC, and we're both still pretty exhausted from the con itself.
Yeah, DCC was this weekend, and on Monday morning at 4 a.m., I had to get up for work. Yeah. So that was much awesome. Regret.
I'm surprised of how much I actually got done work today. But yeah.
I'm tired.
I gave you Red Bull. You'll be fine.
Yeah, kiwi-flavored Red Bull.
Which we have mixed opinions on it.
It's interesting.
It's not bad. Anyway, speaking of Titans, let's talk about Rebirth. Actually, it's the first official issue of Titans, so not really the Rebirth issue anymore.
Yeah, Wally West is officially back, and people remember him.
After they all touched him and tried to strangle him or fight him.
I think that's a really great way to reintroduce that character, though, because in a world where no one remembers who Wally West is, the... first people you should go to is his closest friends and allies.
And
with
the first
Titans.
One he touches is Dick.
Yeah, Dick Grayson, who has memories of them joyriding in the Batmobile, which is very reminiscent of the old days of DC, where the two of them did the same kind of shenanigans.
Yeah, but yeah, it was just kind of, it makes you wonder if like. Is this going to happen every single time Wally touches someone? They're just going to like suddenly get memories back, and eventually Dr. Manhattan's going to be like, whoa there. You can't do this anymore, bro.
I don't know.
We can't have this.
I wonder if it's only going to be a Titans thing, like Bumblebee shows up, but Wally doesn't remember her or something. Like,
oh, yeah, because she's the new one.
Yeah,
it's going to be that weird like crossover of like, who the hell are you? Who are you?
Well, even Wally said in the Flash Rebirth issue that his memories are starting to change, and he... is struggling to remember everything. But man, literally that got me so excited. And we went to a artists panel at Denver Comic Con where it was Brett Booth, Yana Pecky, Chard Hardin, and John Romita Jr. Yeah. and Dan Didio. And Dan Didio just goes up and says, Brett Booth has been asking me to let him draw the gingered Wally West since December of 2011.
We finally got it.
And someone at like DC editorial slipped that Wally was coming back in Rebirth. And Brett Booth, you know, drove home and it's like, how can I word this email to Dan Didio?
Please let me do this.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really cool to hear him talk about how much he loved Wally as well.
Like, yeah, talking to him about like costume design for Wally, and then we were at his table quite a few times just like looking at his sketches and Norm Ratman's inks.
Yeah, his
and
colorist.
That art is just so
gorgeous. Oh my God,
gorgeous.
I bought a print. It was awesome.
Yeah.
I wanted to try and find one of the, because they had the comic book sketches from the actual interiors. That I wanted to try to find... You've tried to find two very specific ones.
The ones that I am sure I had no chance in getting at all. It was like the scene where everyone was hugging Wally, or the scene where Dick and Wally are in the Batmobile.
They did have the photo one, or when Wally's looking at the past photo with all of them.
Yeah,
I kind of considered getting that because it was really cool. But
oh, yeah. God, Comic-Con was so much fun, but we're tired.
Yeah.
Still need to get through my pool.
I'm not done with. I read all my DC stuff. I haven't gotten to my Marvel or Image stuff.
I still need to finish Last Crusade. I started reading it right before I got to talk to Romita, and then I need to finish Han Solo.
Yeah, I haven't read Han Solo yet either.
So,
or Civil War or Black Widow. I'm on it. I was thinking about stuff today of just like, I don't know, just listening to like Dan Didio talk. I mean, maybe he was trying to sell us on the whole Rebirth thing, but I'm just kind of like looking at all the DC books that are coming out. I'm way more interested in those than a lot of the Marvel stuff
I've
right now.
I've been sold since the concept came out. Like with Civil War 2, I was super iffy on it until like the first.
I mean, I'm still kind of iffy on it. I'm still concerned about how this is going to end, even though the writing's been pretty decent on it.
You're concerned about the characters.
Yeah. I'm worried about some character that I really like dying, because if that happens, then it's like, well, that book's not going to exist anymore.
Poor Pizza Dog.
Poor Pizza Dog. I miss Pizza Dog.
But, you know, ever since Rebirth came out last month, I've completely jumped on board of the Rebirth train. And other than the fact that that one Captain America issue came out the same day as Rebirth and stole a lot of the media presence, DC and
just destroyed the Marvel market. They just raffle stomped them. It's like, hey, you remember your... Stomp. I did say raffle stomp. Freaking DC busted in. It's like the Steam meme of like the guy, like it's the like older guy with the belt, and it's usually like somewhat like the Steam icon with the wallet. It's like time for another Steam sale, except this time it's Rebirth, or a DC releasing Rebirth, and Marvel's on the ground.
Yeah, Bleeding Cool released an article this week about how all the Rebirth titles actually outsold all the Marvel stuff this week.
Yeah, what? Civil War 2 was like the highest one up there. It was like at 7th. Yeah, or something.
Things like Batman, Justice League, Titans, all that stuff.
Green Arrow was like, what, number 3?
Yeah, and it's crazy because Rebirth just first and second printings.
And those were the actual Rebirth titles, not the number ones.
Yeah, and like just Rebirth by itself, like the one shot by Geoff Johns sold 253,000 copies, and then something like Green Arrow selling 90,000 copies was insane. Again, I don't read Green Arrow. I haven't for a very long time. I'm considering picking it up now. I picked up issue one at the con.
Yeah, I'm very interested in what they're going to do with the story, especially after reading the number one this last week with this big twist at the end. I'm just like, oh, what? I really hope this isn't like a detrimental thing, because X character I really like, I don't want you to be evil.
Yeah, Emiko's back, Shadow's back, Diana... I don't know if she was a way to kind of hook readers into it. She said she needs
It seems like she's going to be a reoccurring character, at least.
I really like that about it, too, because it's not a character that's forced in.
Right. It seems like it's very natural, even though it seems like... Well, okay. It actually didn't seem like they forced it, just because they kind of explained in the whole Rebirth issue of, like, oh, they feel like there's something there. They just don't know what.
Yeah.
So it seems like this is their way of like, okay, Dinah's still trying to like figure things out for herself, but she wants to stay in that area.
Yeah, she's happy with Ollie, but at the same time, it's like Ollie's method.
I came out here.
Things.
It's like I came out here to find like to figure things out.
Just the fact that he throws money at literally all of his problems. I was sitting there. I'm like, okay, you are very different from Batman.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we deserve.
Yeah,
this is
the Green Arrow that we want to see.
Yeah, it's awesome. And then to see...
the art's just... Oh my god, I love all the designs. Like, yeah. Emiko's new design, I was like, I'm in love with this.
Oh yeah. And then Batman came out last week too. And that was just a non-stop action plot. And just the Greg Scott liquor store right next to Tom Surveillance. Just all these small little jokes that fans understand.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so wonderful to see a Batman that's different from Snyder's, but at the same time retains that sacrifice everything.
Right. And I mean, there was an article that from an interview with Tom King of how he wanted to preserve that because he loved what Scott did.
Mm-hmm.
And he just wanted to put his own twist on it and keep it going. Yeah. I mean, right out the gate, he's fucking riding a plane like a horse. Like, flying it through Gotham. And he's perfectly fine with dying, like, right at the end.
Yeah, and in a sense, I've always imagined that being, like, the total punk way for Batman to go
just
out.
Just a massive explosion.
Just, I would not be satisfied. If that's how Endgame ended, I would have just been, I would have stopped.
You don't see the nice little... Oh, like Joker and him they're just laying next to each other. No, just boulder.
That's the way
it's over.
See, that's the way I always imagine heroes to go out. It's just always one final battle. I would get. I'm not
upset.
Naruto
Sasuke effect.
Yeah, I wouldn't be
punching each other until they have nothing left.
Yeah. just imagining a character go out in such like an easy way. I think there was an entire Batman animated series episode like that, The Man Who Killed Batman. And Joker was just all sorts of pissed that a common crook killed Batman. Oh, man. But I am up aboard the DC Rebirth hype train. Everything that I've read, I literally read every single title that's come out and picked up all
the only ones I haven't read are Superman at this point.
Oh, my goodness. It's so good.
I'm waiting for Superwoman and Supergirl. I'm really, really ready to jump on those ones.
And even then, like the September solicits came out today, and Dan Didio talked about a bunch of the September things because he's like,
and the Raven
miniseries, Gotham Academy coming back, and it's all of these things. I'm like, oh my goodness, I need to absorb all of it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it could. I really hope this continues to like. I was listening to the Geek Outside the Long Box earlier today and they were talking about how like, yeah, Marvel's like every now and again, they'll have like this really awesome story and like really good writing, really good art. And then they'll not have anything for a couple months. But so I'm really hoping that this isn't just like the honeymoon effect with DC and it actually like the stories just keep getting there. They stay the same. Like
staying at the same level.
Yeah. Same level, same good writing, same good plotting. Like, and just everything just stays good. Like, I hope it doesn't like fizzle out like after a couple months and everyone's like, right. Oh yeah, it's back to.
Well, I was talking to Yannick while I was waiting for a commission from him, and he was telling me about the Monster Men coming back in September. Ooh. And it's going to be a crossover between Batman, Detective Comics.
Oh
and
yeah,
Nightwing.
The whole kaiju
and it's
thing.
The kaiju battle essentially. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, this is insane, but so awesome.
It
and Steve Orlando is heading it,
and awesome.
And he's just working with everyone. And it's like, a lot of people are upset that we're getting a crossover so soon. But at the same time, it's like when you're shooting
with
a book,
all the Batman books, at least.
Yeah, it's with three titles, and when you're shooting every other week, it's a really good idea for another writer to come in do
give the other one a break.
Two issue thing on each title gives them a break.
I mean, it's even kind of reminiscent of what a lot of the older stuff did. Like you would see like a mini story arc within the main title, like Batman or something. Like, oh, this is issue 3 of 4.
Oh yeah, where you pick up the Superman issue and it has the little S shield with the number in it.
Yeah,
they did the same thing with the Final Days of Superman.
Right, just like those small little stories that give you a break from the main plot. And let someone else come in, let the other writer get some slack or get caught up on stuff. So,
I just can't imagine DC doing any wrong right now. I'm so excited
everything. I really want to believe Dan Didio when he says that we're doing this for the fans. Like, yeah, it's a business. Like, I understand that. They have to make money to survive.
Yeah.
But I really want to believe him when he says we're doing this for you guys because we've listened to you, you've asked for these things to come back, and we're trying to do that right.
My favorite thing from I like how we're interweaving all of our topics. This is perfect, but it's very natural for once.
Yes.
One of my favorite things from that DC Rebirth panel was Dan Didio talking when they launched New 52 and Dick Grayson was in black and red because they wanted to separate Flashpoint Dick Grayson from post-Crisis Dick Grayson, and he had writers come up to him with plot lines where he would get back in a black and blue suit, and I'm just sitting there and it's like, well yeah, fans were pissed, man.
Can't mess with that black and blue.
Everyone,
how long
joking.
Did it take for Finger Stripes to come back?
13? Finger Stripes was 18 issues 19 issues when Dick went to Chicago. Yeah, DC Encyclopedia for the win.
Woo! All those small details.
All the small details. But, oh my goodness, that panel was so great, you know?
Or just hearing about the artists of like, oh, what character would I love to see? Like, it makes you think, is Dan Didio's like head is like, I wonder if that would actually sell well.
It reminds me of the C2E2 panel where Scott Snyder's like, is Dan Didio behind a curtain? But my favorite thing was Chad Harden. I was the only one in the audience.
Yeah.
Chad Harden's like, you know, I would love to see Gen 13 come back. And I just threw my arms up and yelled. And the people on stage started laughing. And Romita gave me a thumbs up. And I'm like, well.
And then Brett Booth's like, yeah, I'd love to draw Booster Gold. And it's everybody went wild. Like, we haven't seen Booster Gold in so long.
Yeah, since the Convergence.
Come on, we got Blue Beetle. Bring him back in that series, please.
Well, that's exactly what I said. I was like, yeah, I'd love to do some like blue and gold stuff probably. And it was just funny because essentially our audience was competing with
freaking John Barrowman.
Yeah, John Barrowman was on the other side of the stage doing his whole thing. So Didio had to like be quiet for a little bit, and then, you know, he was like, "You guys should beat John Barrowman with cheering." And then I think we did it with the booster cold. Yeah. Just going crazy. And, you know, Yana Paquette, just love hearing him talk. Mm-hmm. I stayed at his table so often. Like,
that's always my favorite thing, of just to talk with the people. Like, that's why we go to cons.
His idea for a story of doing, like, a pre-Cambian swamp thing.
No dialogue.
And I'm like, man, please, can you do that now?
You could do that solo. You could plot out the story yourself.
Well, he's been busy working on a Wonder Woman Earth 1, and he was even joking around. It's like, you know, I was on a monthly book for a while, and then I got asked to contract with Grant Morrison. You can't say no to Grant Morrison. Mm-hmm. And then I looked at the contract, and it had no deadlines. I was excited. There were no deadlines. I spent 3 years working on this.
Yeah. And I didn't know he was going to be the reoccurring artist for, was it?
Covers for Batgirl.
Yeah, Batgirl and the Birds of Prey.
Yeah.
I'm just like, that gets me excited because the first one cover looks great. So it's going to be cool to at least have that going on the whole time. Yeah.
And gosh, my favorite thing from just that Yana Paquette panel for Wonder Woman, he was just talking about the process of Earth One. And he was like, so working with Grant Morrison is interesting. I feel like we should have gotten in trouble, but I don't think we got in trouble because Grant's, but for one of the pages I had to work on, the description was, imagine yourself as an anthropologist or a safari explorer who's come to this party where 3,000 years of sexual experimentation has become ritual. And then he paused and he's like, I had to draw that. Do you know what that means? I don't know what that means.
It's like interesting listening to Chad Harden too. Like, since he's the Harley artist, I think one of the questions somebody asked is like, how much stuff did you get away with or something along those lines? And he's just going on. He's like, yeah, there's some things where I'm almost like, oh, this is definitely going to get flagged by the editor and it gets by him. And then like some other little thing that's not as severe. So it's like, how did this one get flagged?
What was it? Was it Dan Didio telling the story?
Oh yeah. About the ass rockets.
Yeah. Where Harley Quinn is in a giant mech. And she has rockets that fire out of her butt. And she's trying to destroy a building. So she's sitting on top of the building with her butt pointed down. Harley Quinn has gone off the rails.
What is even happening anymore?
Yeah, it's awesome. And it was really weird having only a team of artists on stage talking about their work. But it was just interesting hearing about like the creative process. Because someone like John Romita Jr., he was like, yeah, I got like 5 pages of notes and then I drew Last Crusade.
I drew 50 pages of art.
Where Scott Snyder gives me 50 pages for a 22-page story.
Yeah.
And, we saw Scott Snyder at C2E2 and we're like, yeah, that sounds a lot like what he explained his process to Greg with. But, man.
It was kind of funny, like, listening before the panel, too. Like, some guys behind us, they're somewhat time bitching, but they're just like, man, it'd be great to see some of those old Marvel and DC crossovers again. Like, if they did a Deadpool and Harley Quinn crossover, I'd buy the shit out of that. Funny enough, they ended up mentioning that. I think
Didio said he was like, that'd be a really interesting book.
We'd do that.
Yeah, but, you know, big two.
Yeah. Just imagine how much that would actually sell, though. Like,
oh, yeah.
Holy shit. Like, that would, I feel like that would easily sell 500,000 copies.
God. The secret. Rebirth Wars. I don't know.
Something dead. I don't even know. Dead Quinn.
Well, it's funny because you see so much fan art of Harley Quinn and Deadpool together.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, they're the two agents of chaos for both Marvel and DC.
Very much so.
Like, they're both that same very, very similar humor, very similar style, just action and just off the walls, like, what is even happening.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So, I mean, it would work. It's just they're probably never going to do it because Marvel and DC are probably at least not the writers, but all the upper management's at, like, each other's throats.
Oh, yeah, that's interesting. I mean, like, DC has been doing an awesome job, like, reaching out, doing crossovers with other people. Like, mm-hmm. Gotham Academy and Lumberjanes. And that's like, I still need to pick up an issue of that.
It's really fun.
I bet. I need it. But have you had a chance to look at the September solicits yet?
I haven't, no. I usually don't look at solicits very often.
I look at them because I want to look at the covers and then get an idea. It's like, okay, I liked Green Arrow Rebirth one shot. I like Green Arrow issue 1. Am I going to like Green Arrow issue 5? So I was looking at it. I'm like, okay, this is like a really cool story.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the really cool things that are coming out in September, Supergirl has her issue 1 coming out. Blue Beetle has his issue 1 coming out. Vertigo is launching a new series with called Ever After, which takes place after Fable.
Ooh.
Fables. And it's written by the team that did the adaptation of the Wolf Among Us video game.
Hey.
And Bill Willingham, the author of Fables, gave them his good graces. And, mm-hmm. and it's supposed to be like this. It retains that same crime noir style.
Ooh,
with a nice. Different team. And it's about Bigby and Snow's son. So I'm That's really cool. excited by it, but I have to read 150 issues of Fables to catch back up.
Well, get that omnibus.
There's like 7 of them.
I know.
So
at least it's over.
Yeah, I'm really excited by that. You know, Raven's coming out, and mm-hmm. it's going to explain what happens to her between Teen Titans and Teen Titans Rebirth.
So why is she just kind of like, oh, well, I guess, yeah, because we had the other Raven in the other Teen Titans series.
Yeah, it's still the same Raven.
It's still that same person.
She's okay. like just taking a break, and I think she de-aged herself a bit, so she's no longer like
so they're doing
the voluptuous Raven from mm-hmm. Lobdell and Pfeiffer's Run, but like a teen Raven, kind of reminiscent of the Justice League versus Teen Titans.
I was gonna say that it seems like they're definitely going towards that,
and
probably saw the success and they're like, yeah, let's stick with that. Seems like people like this team.
Yeah, and it's gonna take. So it's like her taking a break from the Teen Titans, and she goes to high school in Sacramento, and is written by Marv Wolfman, one of the co-creators of Raven. So I'm sitting there, I'm like, I was sold on this, but now I'm extra sold.
Yeah, well, back when they announced it like a year ago.
Yeah, I think that was like January when they announced like all the other miniseries that came out.
And but then we never heard from it again.
It's smart though, because now
you have that constant release of something new and exciting to keep the hype up and the excitement up.
And essentially it is a rebirth for Raven too, without calling it that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Swamp Thing was a really fun little miniseries. Yeah. Didn't really add much to his character except like acknowledges his role.
All those miniseries just seem like, okay, here's a bunch of call outs from like what the character's known for. Like,
yeah,
Harley and Ivy have some scenes together in the Poison Ivy series. There's Catwoman who shows up eventually. Like, good call outs to the Gotham City Sirens.
And then you have that thread hanging loose of the three children, Rose, mm-hmm. Hazel, and Thorn, just leaving Ivy. And I'm really curious if they're ever going to show up again, or if like Amy Chu gets to do a series about the three of them.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Or they go meet up with Swamp Thing. Yeah. That was my favorite part about issue. Have you read it? Issue 6 yet?
Swamp Thing. I love Swamp Thing
coming out. It's just like, oh, I really like his relationship with Ivy too. Just because they're both agents of the Green, so they both understand where each other's coming from.
I'm really glad you jumped aboard the Swamp Thing hype train.
It was John's fault.
Yeah.
His indoctrination has worked again.
Yeah, so he sold you on Aquaman, Swamp Thing and Aquaman, and I'm just on Team Aquaman.
It's only a matter of time before he gets me on one of his horror books that he reads.
I'm waiting for him just to start talking me into Hellboy.
Yeah. Well, that one's going on break.
Yeah.
But
just all the things that DC's done. I realize we sound like such DC fanboys, and we truly are, but it's been such an awesome time to be a fan of DC.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm excited looking at solicits again. Part of the arc for the Hellblazer is going to be Constantine and Swamp Thing looking for Abigail, the Swamp Thing's love interest.
Ooh.
So I'm really excited. Oh, wait.
I mean, they did bring that up in the miniseries too.
So it's one of those hanging threads.
Small tie-ins.
And crap, what else that I saw that I really like? Trinity is finally coming out by Francis Manipal. I'm surprised
that's coming out so quick too.
Yeah, Francis Manipal is doing cover some of the interior art, but he's mainly writing the series. And then Clayman, I think, is the alternating artist.
Okay.
And that story is about Superman, the post-crisis one, not our New 52 dead one, with Batman and Wonder Woman, and like the two of them kind of being at odds against this guy they don't know, mm-hmm. who's being so secretive.
Which is reasonable, since it's like, who the fuck are you, man? And
I'm so excited.
I know, I'm really September's got me hyped up, because isn't that when Gotham Academy comes back?
Academy, Raven, a lot of the first Rebirth arcs are wrapping up, the Monster Men, so Gotham versus Kaiju. Mm-hmm. I haven't even had a chance to see if Marvel released their solicits yet.
I don't know. Like I said, it's like, I hope this isn't just we're all high off just excitement right now. I really want this to continue, because I'm honestly considering dropping some Marvel titles that I'm just like, it's not bad, but I'm just really not that interested in it right now.
Right. And I've done that. Like, a lot of the Star Wars titles I've been really engaged with, but, you know, Darth Vader's ending, so I'm going to lose that book. And that'll save me some money for, like, DC books, but I'm probably not going to fill it with anything. And then Image stuff is still on break, so I'm just kind of waiting around for that.
Right.
And I'm just so excited about DC.
I even really liked the first issue of Green Lanterns that came out. Like, they're really trying to build up the whole Lantern mythos again with this whole Red Dawn thing of like, the Red Lanterns are trying to tap into just ordinary people's rage and just convert them over.
Right.
Like, which is what I thought they were going to do, but it seems like they're trying to make Earth their new power source, since it seems like the Red Lanterns are dying out. Because from the one issue that they show, it's Atrocitus holding Blaze, it's like, you have failed me, they've awoken too soon, and now the Green Lanterns are onto us.
Interesting.
So, and then the issue ends with Jessica's being just surrounded by people who are, their rage levels go up too high, because she's in this crowded mall. Like, it looks like around like a big shopping day.
Okay.
It's just like, so they're just tapping into people's just minor rage things and just building them up. Like, embrace your rage.
Okay. I was looking at some of the solicits for September. Really,
it looks really fascinating. Like, okay. I'm kind of interested in what Sam Humphries is going to do with
there's
the whole thing.
There's a few issues that scream Sam Humphries that are coming out. Like, issue 5 is Jessica is invited to dinner with Simon's family, and I'm like, that sounds like a Marvel plot. And then the other issue is Simon going to explain why he carries a gun. Still
kind of mentions it a little bit in the first issue.
Yeah. And I'm just reading the Green Lantern solicits waiting for Kyle to show up.
Yeah, I really, that's what I kind of hope, is like they start, maybe like they get a mentor of some sort instead of just Hal telling them to work together.
Please be Guy Gardner.
Just someone.
Yeah.
Guy Gardner, Kyle, please.
They're great friends. And then, was it again at the panel? Someone asked Dan Didio, it's like, are we going to find out more about Kyle after Omega Men, which was a phenomenal series? Thank you for keeping it alive. And, what's happening to Kyle in the emotional spectrum right now? And Dan's like, I can't tell you. I've already said too much.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's why, I was saying, like, it seems like they're really trying to build up the whole Lantern thing mythos, just because it seems like, didn't literally in Lost Army, like, everyone get wiped out or something?
In Lost Army, they all got, so at the end of Godhead, it led to Lights Out. And I think, no, Lights Out led to Godhead. And then Godhead led all of the Lanterns, like, literally shoved into another dimension. Or they got sent...
Wasn't it, like, in the past?
Yeah, they got sent back into the past, essentially, where...
Edge of Oblivion was their goal, they were trying to get back.
Yeah, and at one point, you know, some people lose their rings, and then Kilowog got, like, a light staff instead of a ring. And it was really cool, because we saw a lot of diversity in a... Chip, the Squirrel Green Lantern, was the star of one of those issues, and he essentially saved everyone. And then as John is leading them to, like, the edge of Oblivion, he sees Renegade Hal Jordan closing the gate on them, and it's like, why is he doing that? And then I never read the Lost Army to find out why. So a lot of the Lantern stuff is so cool, but I get picky, I suppose. Like, I really want to see a really great dedicated book on Guy. Like, Red Lanterns by Charles Soule was perfect for it. And then Omega Men with Kyle was wonderful.
Yeah.
John had his own spotlight in Green Lantern Corps.
Yeah, that's the kind of the reason I never picked up the... I'm not pulling the Hal Jordan in the Green Lantern Corps, because personally, I don't like Hal Jordan. I don't like John Stewart that much. He's okay sometimes. Like, I really like Kyle, and I like Guy.
Yeah.
Those are the two I want to see. And I like the new ones, Jessica and Simon. Right. Even though Simon's kind of an ass, but I expect him to eventually turn around.
Hopefully.
He's kind of like, it seems like he's kind of like the new Guy Gardner. He's kind of a dick.
Guy's right kind of calm down. Yeah. There's so much coming out, and I am at the point where I'm like half expecting them to announce a few more team books. Like, since JLA is apparently out of the picture now that it's canceled.
Straight up getting it out.
They haven't announced what a JLA rebirth is at all, so I don't expect that to ever come out again.
Yeah,
but
I just felt that was kind of weird because you had the main Justice League title and then you had JLA, which was literally the same team,
yeah,
just a different story.
Mm-hmm. So I'm, you know, I would love like another United run where it's a rotating team or like a Justice League International coming back, just so I can see the blah. Yeah,
I really want to see United with it. I want them to bring back Animal Man, Equinox, Stargirl. I want all those Canadian characters back, man.
Stargirl's American.
No, she's not. She's Canadian.
She's not Canadian.
Yeah, she is.
Stargirl? Jeff Johns made her.
Pretty sure she's Canadian.
Whatever.
Pretty sure she's like a fangirl of Booster, I want to say, or something.
No, her father was... Starman, I think. No. Yeah. Today we get our DC knowledge wrong. Star Wouldn't Girl. Be a Z2 podcast without it. Zach is literally looking it up. Well, Stargirl is based off of Jeff Johns' sister who died in a plane crash. That's why, and that's her name, Courtney.
Yeah, Courtney Whitmore.
Honestly, I want to say she's the daughter of Colonel Stars and Stripes.
Second Star Spangled Kitten. Okay, maybe you're right then.
Because her dad. Is the guy in the giant mech suit from Justice League Unlimited. Or even that, do a literal Justice League Unlimited run. Hey, again, with that rotating cast. We have Detective Comics, which is a team book, Justice League, Super Sons, Teen Titans, Titans. There's a lot there, but yeah, at the same time.
I think her first appearance in Justice League United was...
She's in Canada.
She's in Toronto, yeah.
Yeah, she and Animal Man are doing a signing.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I just assumed you're Canadian characters like Martian Manhunter, Supergirl, the entire Legion of Superheroes, the Legion Lost.
Ollie. He's in Vancouver. It's close enough. Or Seattle.
Man, again.
Just bring him back.
It's just so cool to see this coming, because this just reminds me of when I first got into comics. Like, a lot of these really important relationships, a lot of these really important characters taking the spotlight. So I'm super interested to see where it goes, and hopefully you survive when it ends, because my wallet may not.
Rip money, rip wallet, rip bank account.
Doom Patrol comes in September too.
Oh yeah, the first wave of Young Animal.
Yeah, and the first cover is a picture of a burrito.
Excellent.
I'm really excited to see what Gerard Way does. He writes some awesome comics.
I've never read any of his stuff.
He did an issue of Edge of the Spider-Verse where he talks about like the mech suit Spider-Man.
Isn't that $20.99? Oh, wait, no, that's no. Like the Japanese one, I think. Like the Japanese mech suits.
Separate
from that one.
Yeah, it's about a girl who pilots that giant robot where the other giant robot Spider-Man is from Japan and he fights actual kaiju.
Is it Supaidaman?
Yeah.
Is it that one? Yes. We can Supaidaman.
With, I can't remember, Leopard something.
I forget what it's called. Yeah, it's something it's from I wanted to say Leopardon. Leopardon? No, Leopardon. It's from freaking Charlie the Unicorn.
Oh.
I don't know why I remember that.
Yeah. All right. So.
Oh, so quick thing. Grant Gustin tweeted this this afternoon that the first episode of The Flash is going to be called Flashpoint. They confirmed that the storyline they're going with, at least for the first part of it is Flashpoint, which is what we hoped, or at least what we expected them to do after that. So right. That's gonna be cool.
I honestly believe then that like the 4-part crossover is gonna be them.
It's gonna be the reverse of all of it.
Yeah,
which makes me sad because that means Arrow season 3 and 4 exist again.
But then that brings a great way for the team to come back, possibly Laurel to come back. Maybe just Shu and Deathstroke, maybe. Yeah, come on,
Hashtag bring Manu back, please.
Stupid corporate.
Yeah, freaking.
Yeah.
Bring Constantine back, please. Something.
Just put him on a freaky deaky Legends of Tomorrow.
Yeah, that'd be very entertaining. Just him and Rip Hunter just arguing all the time.
You smell like smoke. Well, I just got back from hell, so I'll see you there, okay. I suppose.
I'll meet you there. I'll lay out the carpet for you. One of the things I wanted to finish up this podcast with is just kind of an overall recap of DCC and our what we want really want from next year.
Writers.
Yeah. I mean, overall, it was pretty fun.
Yeah, it was a good time. The panels that we did go to together or separately were awesome. Like, yeah. I went to a panel where they did a literary analysis of Rat Queens through Dungeons and Dragons and Tolkien.
Because I love Rat Queens.
And then Super Christ. So examining Superman transitioning from a Moses figure to a Christ-like figure, so moving from Judaism to Christianity through the lens of Hollywood film. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, this is freaking mental. This is awesome.
I was just worried, like, just the fact that they didn't announce too many big-name comic people. But, I mean, I still had a really good time. Like, the Lena Headey panel was pretty fun. Like, it's always just fun to see the actors just out completely out of character. And she's just, like, really out everywhere.
She's not Cersei in the slightest.
She's not Cersei in the slightest. But she loves playing that. She was, like, all of her roles have been, like, kind of villainous characters except for, like, Sarah Connor.
Yeah, same with Manu Bennett.
Yeah, oh, my God. I would love to just listen to him forever.
He is awesome just hearing him talk. And, like, the beginning of the panel, there's, like, a toddler running around at the front of the stage. And he kept saying hi to her and wanted her to come up on stage.
Yeah.
And
just, I mean, he even freaking opened the panel. He was like, you guys, do you hear the news? Anton Yelchin just passed away. Yeah. Really sad. It was just like, I didn't expect to go on a Fields trip here, man. God, yeah. He had so many like sad stories, but he always like brought it back to like, but this defined me as a person. And this is why I do this.
Yeah. He was talking about his middle school antagonist, essentially, like kid he never got along
with. And like relation to his role in Spartacus.
Yeah. And then how that kid later came to his bedside after his mother died and he was in like a week-long coma, and the kid was like there for him saying, hey, I understand you.
I lost my mother too. I understand what it's like.
And then just that like, related Jesus, to Spartacus, man. And I'm like, what?
God damn, dude. I need to watch Spartacus now.
Yeah, I'm like, I have never watched a single episode of Spartacus, but now I want to watch you.
You'll find it. It's like a 7-year-old series now or something.
Yeah. Oh, God. So many cool things. And like I said, I can't stop talking about that artist panel. Yeah. Or the Wonder Woman panel I went to was really cool. Because again, it was a bunch of writers and artists just talking about Diana.
Right.
And one writer going along the lines of like, yeah, when Diana lost her powers, it kind of sucked. I wouldn't have done that. But it really informed her character. And it really showed us that even without her powers, she would be this good human being. And I'm like, yeah, you go. And then Yannick again saying, it's like, we should have gotten in trouble. The moment Grant Morrison said, the invisible plane looks like a woman's reproductive system. I don't know how we were allowed to do that.
Yeah, and we got some really awesome commissions. Like, I got a really amazing Batgirl from Marguerite Sauvage.
And I got Dick Grayson and Barbara Gordon from Yana Packet watercolor, full color, and it's just gorgeous.
Yeah, I mean, even mine's in grayscale, but it looks like a freaking noir Batgirl, which, hey, that'd be a really cool series to see. I'd be down for that.
But she's a vampire in Bombshells.
That's true.
For some reason. I think that comes out this week.
Wait, Batgirl? Or Barbara?
I think it's like the Bombshells annual.
Oh.
That explains why Batgirl is a vampire.
I don't remember that part. I don't remember them mentioning that.
It was in the part where they're Harley's talking about the Joker.
Oh, okay.
And they went down to the bayou, and then met a mysticism woman, and there's Barbara Gordon.
That's right. That's why there's no, she's not in the regular Batgirls lineup.
Yeah. Gosh, I can't wait. Oh, favorite news though.
What?
From it was a Newsarama article that got released on Saturday that Dan Didio didn't know whether or not he was allowed to talk about. Mm-hmm. But the solicits for Gotham Academy and Raven. And in the solicit for Gotham Academy, was like, Olive is joined by a new student. And then I look at the picture, and it was Harper Rowe. And I'm like, oh, it's Harper. I show it to you, and you did that same reaction. And then I tweeted Becky Cloonan, and I'm like, is that Harper Rowe on the cover? And I tweeted this in all caps, mm-hmm. because I'm excited on the internet. And she just liked my tweet. She never responded
She does that with, like, everybody, it seems. It's just like, she gives subtle hints of without saying anything.
Yeah. Or it's like, hey, when are we going to see you on the book again? I just got a winky face in reply. I'm like, okay.
All right. Cool. So, yeah, just to finish up with the DCC, who would you like to actually see show up next year?
Brian Michael Bendis.
God, that's never going to happen.
He's doing the con tour again.
Is he?
Yeah. WonderCon was his first con in 7 years.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, he's repping Powers and then his Marvel stuff at the same time. So Brian Michael Bendis would be my, like, dream, because I've done the Scott Snyder, Greg Capullo.
Mm-hmm. It'd be cool to see them show up again. I'd like to see Gail Simone again. She's
wonderful.
Yeah, she's just awesome to talk to. Oh, it'd be amazing to see freaking G. Willow Wilson. But I don't know if she goes to Emerald City sometimes because she lives in Seattle. But
right.
I know right now she has, like, family issues, so...
I want the team to actually be there.
Yeah, both... have Jamie McElvey show up so I can get my stuff signed from him then.
Is it McElvey or is it McKelvey?
I can't remember. It might
McElhenney
be...
McElhenney from might Always
be,
Sunny?
It might be you messed me up. McElvey? McKelvey? Yeah, I could say the other version. Now I can't all of a sudden. What have you done?
So Brian Michael Bendis would be my obvious dream. My impossible dream is Geoff Johns.
I think my impossible dream would be the milk-fed team of Matt Fraction and Kelly Sue.
One day.
I don't know if they'll ever come here. It just seems like they're always they're so busy right now.
Yeah.
Neil Gaiman, that'd be cool if he'd show up. I don't think he would ever.
Just imagining it.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I stood in the line for 8 hours. It'd be worse.
The Stanley line wasn't that bad, according to a lot of people.
Yeah.
And
that's probably
the biggest guest we've ever gotten. And he showed up this year. He was supposed to show up in 2013. Mm-hmm. I remember that because of Facebook time hop.
Yep.
Thank you, Facebook. This was our 5th year at Denver Comic Con.
It's weird to think about that.
I counted all my badges last night.
Yeah, that was the 5th year. We've been there every single one.
Goodness. And it's gotten progressively worse. I'm kidding. It's been wonderful. It's been more good pop culture than comics, sadly.
Yeah. That's why I want to see more. Just more writers, really. Yeah. Like, it was cool to see all the artists. Like, it really was.
Man, Artist Alley was a madhouse.
Yeah, it was. It
took me forever to find super emo friends.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just going to call out all the awesome booths.
Yeah.
Jason Meats.
Yeah, Jason Meats.
Designed Captain Colorado, I call him. Mm-hmm. Who's the mascot of Denver Comic Con. And looking at his commission stack was,
oh my god, insane. Just watching his Twitter feed the whole weekend, he's just like, if I make it through this weekend, I'll be lucky.
Hey, can someone bring me a Mountain Dew? I'll give you a commission for free. I'm tired.
Yeah.
If you ever see Jason Means at a local convention, you really should get something from him.
I think he's Colorado Springs based. So.
He is. He travels occasionally. He's huge now. His art's
I think this kind of blew him up in, like, his name, at least.
Yeah, I remember going to his table, like, last year or maybe 2 years ago.
Or C2E2. It's just like, oh, hey.
Oh, yeah.
It's a local guy.
I'm like, hey, I don't have to travel all the way to Chicago to talk to you this time. We're Facebook friends.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So do we want to wrap up with picks?
Yeah, I got to remember what I freaking enjoyed the most.
Zach is walking away from the table and currently climbing on his couch. And now he is stretching all the way to get his comics. And now he is looking at his comics closely, trying to figure out what it is that he's picking. Remember, folks, he only read DC titles this week, so he has no idea. Vertigo is a subsidiary of DC. I
fixed something.
All right, it's your turn to start, hence the ASMR spying.
Yeah, I've talked about it before. I'm going to talk about it again. Freaking Clean Room is fucking amazing. Absolutely love it. Especially this last issue. Like, we had this big turning moment of, like, we're starting to understand more of what these demons are, like, how they function. Like, we thought they were aliens at first. And now it's confirmed that, yes, they are demons. But the most interesting point of it was the fact that the demons itself can be exorcised and rid of their evil.
Yeah.
Which I thought was the most interesting concept I've ever seen with, like, demons before.
And at the same time, the demons heal people. They can bring them back from the brinks of death. You know, they brought Astrid back, and then Astrid's like, yeah, I'm going to kill Sparks. And I'm like, no, not
it
Sparks.
Just brings, yeah, it just brings you... It was that big, like, turning moment. It's like, oh, is Astrid going to have a turn? Oh, no, she still fucking hates demons.
And then...
But, I mean, it's just... Chloe. God, the whole scene is just really... It's very Gail Simone right now. It's very demented. Like, the fact that Sparks had to, like, ingrain himself into Astrid's body, and the whole time Astrid's...
He hated it.
Yeah, Astrid's... Because Astrid has, like, something on her that, like, just keeps, keeps demons away from her. Like, she's done all... She's taken all these precautions to keep demons off, or, like, just away from her ever since she was a kid. It's just, oh my god, it's so fascinating. Like, now that the world's being built up, and we're starting to understand, like, where each of these characters stand. Like, Chloe's, like, the inner... It seems like she's, like, we can exorcise these demons. Like, we can ally with them. Yeah, we can ally with them. Just that whole scene of, like, he can save Astrid's life, and the whole time, just her, Astrid's assistant, can't remember her name. Some German name.
Hair lady.
Yeah, she's just like losing it the whole time. She's like, what are you fucking doing?
That's just such a cool series.
Yeah, it's so great. I really hope it gets past 12 issues. It's just it's like finally like kicking into overdrive. Like, we see it start off a little slow. It's like, all right, we're starting to, here's all the characters. Now we have the whole demon aspect.
Gail Simone. Let's freaking embrace this.
Please don't stop.
Yeah. Clean Room is just so freaking great.
It's so excellent.
All right. And then on my end, I'm picking Justice League issue 51 by Dan Abnett. It was such a cool issue. I just love Dan Abnett's writing. He's such a phenomenal writer.
He's killing it right now.
Yeah, he
got an exclusive
contract.
He's writing
with DC
three
now
major
too.
Books now.
Yeah, Aquaman, Titans. And then what's your third title?
Oh wait. Oh, I'm just thinking that the Justice League one.
Okay. And
he wrote three titles this week.
He did write three titles this week. But man, just the whole plot, it's like it's supposed to be like a kind of key in to Rebirth in a way, where it shows like this really malevolent figure, we don't know who it or what it is, and just talking in the background, it's like these gods, these titans are destroying my plans, and I need a feast in order to become stronger. So some people are like, oh yeah, it's Mr. Twister, or someone's like, no, it's more sinister than that. Yeah. It could be like people are just going back through like the Teen Titans run. It's like, which character?
Well, who is the most sinister?
Yeah, we've already done Trigon. We've already done Mr. Sinister.
It could
Mr.
be Trigon.
Sinister. No. We've could already be Trigon. Done this character. It would be really cool if it was Trigon.
A Trigon without a Raven involved. Yeah. That'd be kind of interesting.
We've seen Trigon and Teen Titans and like the siblings of Raven, but just the end of the entire issue is like Dick Grayson overwhelmed, not just like scared out of his wits, but it's because of his planning that, or his quick thinking even, that the Justice League is able like to stop the villain of the week, which is like Mammoth, who has no idea where he got there, some alien who's actually a good guy but they don't know that, and then like these mechanical dogs, and they all realize they're like different vibrations
from like different universes, or like time streams
that Cyborg eventually supposedly brought because he pinged the mother box. And it's so cool seeing Dick Grayson work with all these characters, because in a lot of people's kind of headcanon, yes, Dick Grayson was raised by Batman, but he also trained with the Justice League at mm-hmm. various points
in his life. And the final, like, the last conversation that Bruce has with Dick and that the issues yeah, it's is like, awesome.
Look, I am a viable member of this Justice League, and I wanted you to realize that you can do the same. And Dick's like, what? You want me to join the Justice League? And Bruce says, no, I want you to lead it. And it's just one of those moments that really, again, Dick Grayson's my favorite character, as evidenced by like all the Dick Grayson art I have. But it just shows how Dick.
And I meant to put it that way.
It shows how amazing and how well of a character, or not even how well of a character, but how well rounded this character is, and that he can take pointer, the Justice League will take pointers from him. And even Flash is like, we're just wondering why we've never met you. Batman yeah. has a partner.
Is this like bring your kid to work day?
I just like, what was it? Hal had like a Constantine throwaway line too. Yeah. He's like, no, he comes in his trench coat and then it smells and then you feel all weird. And it's like, oh God.
There's some line in there too where Wally just like stares at Hal Jordan. That was Barry. That was Barry.
Yeah. But it's just so cool. And then the issue ends with To Be Continued in Titans. And I'm like, I'm really excited by this because Titans is really going to deal with a lot of those after effects of what Rebirth was. Mm-hmm. I'm so excited.
So excited.
Dan Abnett just kills it.
He's been doing so well. I'm really just looking forward to all of his stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's going to do it for this episode of the Z2 Podcast.
Yeah.
What are you looking for at the time?
I've been awake for 14 hours.
Why do you do this to yourself?
Well, you know, I took a 20-minute nap. All right. Whoa. Thank you, audience, for listening. You guys get a bonus treat of 2 episodes in a week.
Yeah. The first part of it's already out.
Yep. 13.5 is out. 14 will be out when Zach feels like it.
Regularly schedule. We'll stick with it tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll do it tomorrow. Look at you.
Yeah.
Hopefully you enjoyed 13.5. Let us know in the comments on Facebook or shoot us a tweet. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/Z2Podcast and Twitter, on Twitter
at Z2Podcast.
There you go. We
need to be sure to spend that. To just take a little couple minutes out of your day. Just give us a review or a rating on Stitcher and or iTunes. Be really nice to hear from you guys. Appreciate you guys who have done that already.
Yeah. All of you guys rock, and we really love you guys, and we love hearing the feedback from fans.
Mm-hmm.
It makes us better. It makes us make a better quality podcast for you.
And we even have, it gives us ideas of stuff to talk about. The indie discussion that was given to us from a listener. So
really?
Yeah. It was Jim's brother.
Oh
yeah. He's like, it'd be really cool if you guys talked about indie comics. I was like, oh, we talk about indie comics all the time. Let's just make that like a discussion topic.
Oh, very cool. I didn't even know that. Shout out to Jim's brother.
Yeah.
If he's and listening. Jim. Shout out to Jim especially.
He will be on this soon. I'm just going to drag him on to some episode.
For all of those who don't know who Jim is, he's our self-proclaimed biggest fan, and we think he's right.
Yeah. He's the one who gets... He sends me Snapchats of him listening to the podcast. I'm like, oh, Jim, you're the best.
He's the one that I'll get a free t-shirt one day.
Yeah.
And you too can get a free t-shirt by being awesome and spreading the word about the
T2 we hit a podcast. Certain point, we will actually do that.
Yeah, one day we'll have t-shirts. Yeah. All 8 of you.
We'll see it. We'll make it happen.
Yeah,
maybe. All right,
thank you guys once again.
Yeah, keep an eye out for the next couple episodes. We are gonna have a very special guest. I hope. I have some plans for inviting someone on. But you'll see.
Not know anything.
I haven't told you about this one yet, so this is like brand new.
It's gonna be a surprise. I'm gonna walk in. You have Dan Didio sitting on your couch. I'm like,
I slipped him a 50. It worked.
Why? All right. Thank you, guys.